Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Mobile Growth Podcast by Mobile Action. I'm your host, Taha. Each episode, we are talking about the mobile user acquisition, new trends, industry news, and everything about the mobile industry that, you know, worth hearing about. And today, as always, I have a special guest. She's been in mobile for around, let's say, 10 years. And she worked at different companies in the industry, and now she is overseeing the mobile ad tech at Tinuiti, one of the top, let's say, performance marketing agencies, reputedly known in the mobile industry. And yes, today I'm sitting down with Liz Emery from Tinuiti. Hi, Liz. Welcome to POTS.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here. So, to start things off, let's hear your story. I know that, you know, I've been seeing you at various events lately, and maybe some of our listeners, you know, are familiar with you, but for those who don't know you, who's Liz and how did you end up where you are today?
Yes. The fun questions on my background. So my current role is I'm the senior director of mobile and ad tech solutions at Tinuiti. For those who are not familiar with Tinuiti, we're an award-winning agency that really focuses on accelerating brand growth across the triopoly of Google, Amazon, Facebook, and beyond. And when it comes to mobile, we really focus on full life cycle. So everything from pre-acquisition, and that's App Store optimization, strategy, tech stack. That's that ad tech world that I live in through paid media channels, as well as loyalty. I'm responsible for driving innovation and performance in partnership with all of our different divisions at Tinuiti, including search and social display, a little bit of everything. And to your point, I have been in mobile for a really long time, like aging myself a little bit here, but I've been in mobile for, you nailed it, like 10 plus years in different facets of mobile, because I'm one of those nerdy people that likes to see every side of everything. So that's kind of how I structured my roles that I've taken to get to where I am now.
Awesome. So let's jump right into the topics then. We've been in this, you know, crazy year of 2021 in terms of the, you know, mobile user acquisition. There have been lots of updates released by Apple and Google and other ad network partners. And there are lots of mergers and acquisitions, and the industry is really hot right now. As we are, you know, looking back to, you know, let's say the 7 months past to 2021, what would you say about the industry's, you know, current state and what you're predicting about, you know, next 5 months from now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think just to kind of level set is that we've seen, you know, essentially a dramatic shift happening in the mobile world right now, right? And it's all centered around user privacy, dictated by what users are asking for, right? They've kind of gotten tired of data leaks. They've gotten tired of mentioning something out loud and seeing an ad for that, right? They're kind of becoming more aware, and it's in the press. It's in the news. There's shows on Netflix that talk about social media and the creepy things that we can see. And, you know, for those of us like me who are older and have been around in the mobile digital marketing world for a while, we've seen changes like this before, right? Not the first time, won't be the last time, but it's essentially now a time where I really, really feel like we as an industry have to start putting like consumer privacy at the center of everything that we do. I think I read a stat like the other day that said around like 80% of consumers don't feel in control of their data, right? And that's kind of crazy. That's a really high.
That's not just in mobile, right? That's in general.
That's in general. Yep. And I think it's kind of our job, you know, now that consumers are raising their hands and asking for this, and not only is like the government responding, right? And we see that with GDPR, we see that with state level legislations, but, you know, the platforms are responding. And we saw that with Apple for iOS 14 plus that we're currently all living in. And that's why I have gray hair for those who can see me, as well as Google, right? We're moving towards a Chrome cookie-less world. So it's driven by the people, but every facet of what we do is responding. So it's kind of up to us. And over the last 7 months as an industry adapting to that. And I think over the next 5 months, it's going to be the same thing. And, you know, we can talk a lot about some of my ideas around how do we adapt, but, you know, there's no circumventing this. There's no getting around it. There's no like, ooh, I found a loophole. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. Essentially, as marketers, we have an opportunity here to really educate our consumers on how we're using their data. We can educate at the beginning. We can be smarter about how we do ads. We can be smarter about how we do lifecycle marketing. So I look at it, as much as it's painful for all of us, as an opportunity, like looking at the silver lining, like we have an opportunity to rebuild the trust that we've kind of lost over the years.
Got it. So as to open up this, you know, opportunity that you're mentioning, in the, you know, mobile marketer's perspective, users are, you know, benefiting from the latest updates. But as, you know, the industry is running for the last 10 years, it's been always a, you know, database that, you know, the, all the measurements, all the things around have been how much you know and how you are using this data in order to drive, you know, better and more quality of users to your app. So we've passed that and we're in a new world right now. And, you know, ad budgets are the same, you know, user base are still growing. What would your best advice to, you know, let's say the mobile marketers in 2021 trying to, you know, gain as much as users they used to be, you know, pre, let's say, iOS 14.5 without, you know, sacrificing, you know, in-app purchases and revenues and, you know, really getting this valuable data of the measurement in their user base's engagement?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would say, and this is what I tell our clients at Tinuity, as well as anyone who's heard me speak before, user behavior hasn't changed, right? So like as an iOS user myself, how I interact with ads and how I go through the app install or post action experience, that hasn't changed. Just our ability to follow that person and see what they're doing long term from, like, you know, a single source, that has changed. So I always tell people, don't stop investing in iOS, right? You're still making money from those channels. They're still behaving in the same way. We just have to adapt to your point in terms of attribution and measurement. The pieces that I think about a lot is there's a couple elements to complement how attribution runs right now, right? We've been relegated to SK ad network measurement or ad services framework measurement for attribution, where we've lost a lot of visibility into being able to go really, really far down funnel. But there are things that we can do to complement SK ad network. And a couple that come to mind is I work with a lot of clients on doing projected LTV. And there's really strong ways to do that, right? To use your conversion value, to use your in-app behaviors, to put together a really strong model so that, okay, maybe we lose visibility after a 24-hour window, but you can still directionally use, you know, all this knowledge that you have to project out the revenue from these users. Or there's things like incrementality testing, proving out the value of a platform or your media, whether that's geo holdouts or different models there, mixed media modeling. That also can show you like where to be investing your money in terms of different channels or, you know, solutions. I think beyond that, one of the things that I've been telling a lot of people on how to adapt right now, first party data. I've always been an advocate of it. I've always been like a major fan of like, you should be collecting it and collecting it in the right ways, not in like a creepy, I know everything about you ways, but collecting the data that you need to know to be able to reach people. I think that's going to be an avenue of mobile marketing that's kind of going to explode a little bit over time, both in user acquisition when done right, as well as lifecycle.
Got it. So if I were to ask you how to really accurately and, you know, ethically collect the first party data, what would you say?
Yes, that's a great question. It's one of my favorite questions. It's all about the value exchange, right? So a lot of the research I've been doing, it says that consumers are okay with personalization and they actually prefer it when it's done at the right time and place, right? So if we can explain the value exchange, whether that's you get access to this kind of content, it ungates this, or, hey, we're doing this to personalize it for you. We're only using it for X, Y, and Z. But if you explain to the consumer transparently how you're using the data and what you're collecting, and again, only collect what you need versus like trying to collect so much on a user that you can tell what they had for breakfast that day, right? That's like the way to do it. It's transparency. Mm-hmm. It's that value exchange, because it's not personalization that's scaring users. It's the level of data that we're collecting on them and not understanding how we're using it and what the benefit is to them.
Got it. So in terms of the acquisition, the targeting is not, you know, what it used to be. And I think we have seen a major shift from some certain type of, you know, ad creatives and ad strategies to a really, you know, let's say 180 degree different strategy and of creative things of the sites. So why is that, do you think? You know, it's inherently because the targeting become, you know, less efficient and much harder. But other than that, do you think, you know, people are really didn't get the efficient value while they are trying to target certain audiences? Or is it something that, let's say, kind of like a placebo effect that they thought they will not get as much as users? And, you know, what do you think about that? Just because it's really new and we really don't have much data around that side, but I believe you've been working with your clients on lots of different experiments, and I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're kind of, you know, on track with that. Like, I agree with you. I think part of it is audience sizes are shrinking, right? That's just the nature of not having a main identifier. Plus opt-in, mm-hmm. depending on the channel, is a lot lower, like depending on the app, right? Certain apps have really high opt-in, certain don't have any opt-in, some have lower percentages. So it does make some of the audience tactics that we used to do a lot harder. So I think we're seeing a combination of shrinking audience sizes. I think we're seeing right now the attribution space is trying to catch up, right? So the connections between the MMPs and SCAD and the different platforms, that's all catching up, and it will catch up, right? Everything will normalize. We're going to get to a new normal. But right now we're missing some data, right? We're not seeing total performance. Things that can't be attributed are going to organic, right? So I think until things are ironed out with SCAD measurement and until things are good there, we are kind of in a weird spot when it comes to targeting as well, because you can't even see what's truly working. In my mind, I do think that we're moving towards, you know, rewinding back in time to like the early 2000s, we're moving towards a wider net, right? We're going to have to cast wider nets. We're going to be doing a lot more in terms of contextual targeting, right? Based on app types, or if it's mobile web or just web, based on content. I think we're going to see a big shift that way, but we're going to be forced to cast a wider net and have to kind of cater our creative a lot more. The creative has always been important, but now there's this increased focus. If you only can cast a wide net and you're getting a lot of eyeballs, that creative has to, you know, get someone to convert. I think on top of that, we're going to see a lot more in terms of lifecycle marketing. You know, that's, you know, again, always been important, but I think we're going to see a lot more in terms of like email, push notification, in-app messaging, chatbots, all these different avenues. When retargeting audiences shrink and things like that, those are going to grow because they're going to have to grow, right? If we're going to get people back into the app to keep monetizing, those mm-hmm. channels are going to have to be personalized, used properly, the right communication cadence. Like, I think that's going to be a major shift that we see in the next couple of months.
Got it. So other than display ads, I want to pick your brain on the Apple search ads, just because I think, you know, pre this, all the things happened this year. It was a channel that, you know, I would say the most non-gaming companies were using as one of their main user acquisition channels. But as I'm, you know, seeing in our platform at searchads.com, you know, lots of brands really start to rely on Apple Search Ads as their main channel. You know, I see this shift, you know, really happening from Facebook and AdMob and other ad networks to really, you know, they're shifting their ad spend to Apple Search Ads since it gives you, you know, much better ability to acquire more and more quality of users. So how's things that, you know, on your side, how do you see that? How do you see that change?
Yeah, yeah. So I've always been a fan of Apple Search Ads. I've always been an advocate for it. It's a really strong intent platform, right? Like, if you think about what users are doing within that space, I mean, you're reaching the right users who are actively looking for something that you're providing. I agree with you. I think it's going to continue to grow. I think that they have their own API and their own way to do attribution that is also helpful. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we're going to see is, you know, organic efforts like App Store optimization, like making sure you have a strong landing page. Those efforts are going to need to grow as well. And there's a strong tie between ASO and ASA. I'm a huge fan where you should be comparing keywords, you know, what's working in ASA can help your ASO, what's working in ASO can help your ASA. So I'm 100% with you that I think this channel is going to continue to skyrocket over the next couple months. And, you know, there's a strong benefit to doing that based on like what you can see and, you know, what the property gives you in terms of intent.
Got it. So Liz, that was a nice candid chat about the industry. And last but not least, I want to ask you about your opinion and your advice to, let's say, Taha, who is just graduated from college, trying to figure out what to do, who's passionate about, you know, mobile industry and wanted to get into the user acquisition part or, you know, the growth management part. You know, what would you say to me if I were to come to you and say, hey, Liz, you know, I know that you're a, you know, a big pioneer in this industry and I want to know how I can be, you know, one of the experts in this field, how I can improve myself and I can get a real good position in this industry.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because when I first started my career before those 10 years in mobile, 11 years in mobile, I started at a completely traditional, like working on radio, TV, print, a little bit of digital desk. I worked at a traditional agency. And so I lived this. I know exactly this feeling. And I think there's two things I always tell people. Number one is find a mentor. The great thing about our industry is there's a lot of really awesome people of all different levels, all different backgrounds that are always willing to take on mentors, whether that's an email, LinkedIn, you know, what a Twitter, if you're a Twitter person, like whatever the channel is, people are always open to helping people get into this field. So I always say finding a mentor, whether that's like, you know, you're out of college and maybe it's someone at your college or you just start networking in the industry and go to events. Or if you're in a job and you're like, man, I really want to get into mobile, find a mentor within your company or in the industry. And then number two is, I think this is one that I tell people all the time, is don't be afraid to ask questions. I get that a lot of people who are trying to figure out what they want to do in life. And believe me, I still question that about myself. Like, what do I want to do in life? But don't be afraid to ask those questions. Like, right? So find people at in the industry at events and say, hey, like, what do you like about mobile? Like, what do you find challenging? What makes it so different from X, Y, and Z of what you're currently doing? Asking questions is the best way to determine like, hey, I'm a newcomer. This is the path I want to go down. Or, hey, I'm a newcomer. Wow, after talking to someone and asking all the questions that are popping into my head, I actually don't want to go down that route. So I think those are the two things, like finding that mentor and just, you know, being okay asking questions. Maybe it's a forum. Maybe you find a forum on Reddit and you're like, what is this like? Use it, right? People are generally good and will help you.
That's awesome. That's really good advice. All right. That was a great chat, Liz. Thanks for joining me today.
No, thank you for having me. This was fun. I'm hoping I get another opportunity to hang out with you on one of these podcasts.
Awesome. So this is the end of this episode of Mobile Growth Podcast. You can, if you have any questions for Liz, you can say hi to her at Elizabeth Emery on LinkedIn. And I am at, you know, Taha Karsu on LinkedIn too. And you can watch a previous episode on your favorite podcast app or YouTube by just searching Mobile Growth Podcast. And thanks for listening. Talk to you on the next episode.